friends, I'm turning now to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. Hebrews 11 and verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And we're going to be thinking this morning, friends, about the subject repentance and faith in Christ, drawing from the accounts given us here about Moses. This is in the middle of a tall list of references made to the people of faith in Scripture. The entire chapter 11 of the Epistle to the Hebrews speaks of the men of faith, the women of faith. And so our evangelical forefathers refer to this chapter as the Hall of Fame. Some also call it the Hall of Faith. And you would have heard when we read the chapter, it begins with the definition of faith, which we find in verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we'll be looking at that issue of why faith is not empty, why faith is not blind. The Bible tells us that it has substance and there is evidence. That will help us to stand firm when the world tells us that our faith is empty. Christians are not reasonable people. The things we do, we don't have any basis. Faith, verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the broad context of the Epistle to the Hebrews is that the writer is writing at the time when the Jews who had believed in Jesus Christ and had left the old Jewish religion, they had come under persecution. This is in the early parts of the time following the ascension of Jesus Christ. The Jews were the first to suffer religious persecution before political persecution in the Roman Empire. And the epistle is written to them to comfort them. Especially, there is reference in all of these, in this chapter, verse chapter 11, to these many, many people who stood their grounds and by faith testified of the grace of God in them. One of them, as we are thinking about this morning, is Moses, God's servant, the one who is referred to in Scripture as the meekest man on earth. What did he do? Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In the following verses, we will go in, through them. But who is he that can become an example for our thinking this morning about repentance and faith in Christ? He wrote the first five books of the Bible, we know. And he also wrote Psalm 90, the rendering of which we sang as the first hymn in our service this morning. Moses, he was born at a time when the Hebrews in Egypt were under persecution. They had been brought into slavery, burdened with all manner of tasks, paid very little, they were growing lean and weak, and at the time, by God's grace, they were still multiplying to the extent that the Pharaoh in the day decided to kill all the male-born children of the Hebrews. And Moses was born in the middle of this period. And when he was born by faith, which we read in verse 23, he was hid by his parents. His parents, being Hebrews, trusted in the mighty God. They saw something special about Moses when he was born, and therefore they hid him. But then, beyond 3 months, they couldn't. And so they decided now to offer him up and put him on the river Nile for him to be, for his life to be decided by fate. So this is the background of Moses, his birth. But there are other things to learn from him concerning our lesson this morning. By God's grace, he was taken up by Pharaoh's daughter as she came to bath in the water, in the river Nile. And by providence, God's providence, I should say, Moses was handed back to his own mother to be the caretaker of him. And by this, we can understand how Moses was able to learn about the God of Israel, even from his youth. We don't know when he left his mother to go and live in the palace, but he did at a certain time. So, as he went into the palace, he began to learn the wisdom of Egypt. He learned the trade, he learned the architecture, he learned the arts. He became mighty in words and deeds. We read about that in Stephen's account in Acts chapter 7. That big chapter before Stephen was stoned to death. Moses is mentioned there as one who was mighty in words and deeds, which according to Egyptian history means that he was a military general, when you would expect that of a prince of Egypt who was being trained. And he was in line, according to the experts, that he was in line to become a pharaoh. He was a horseman and an archer, but that means he was one who could be able to use the sword to fight and win. He was an architect, he was an engineer, but beyond that, he was a worshipper of power. Every prince of Egypt was trained to do that because they were worshipped as human beings. Not only service was rendered to them, but they were seen as gods in a sense. So he was trained to receive worship, and as I said, he was probably in line to become a pharaoh. So one of the most privileged people you can think of is Moses. Very strange that somebody who was supposed to be an outcast, somebody who was supposed to be killed, was now on his way to become the pharaoh. Very privileged, very well educated. And how do we know this? Look at the first five books which he wrote: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Very, very skillful in his arts. And we say this because we know that the inspiration of scripture is such that God used the very style of the writer. Alright, God did not dictate the scripture to the inspired writers, but he used the style, moved by the Holy Spirit to write. And I would want to let you reflect on Psalm 90, those famous words of Moses. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Famous words. But Moses, what is it that we can learn about him concerning repentance and faith? Here is it, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Repentance and faith. How did Moses demonstrate this? I'm going to reflect on four verbs we find in those four verses. Verse 24, he refused. That's going to be our first consideration this morning. Verse 25, he chose. That's another verb. Verse 26, he esteemed. And then verse 27, he forsook. That would be the four words we're going to be reflecting upon in our thinking this morning. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What did he refuse? It can mean that he refused the identity. Pharaoh's daughter, or the son of Pharaoh's daughter, was an identity. He refused to be called. So that implies the name. Moses was the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. Like somebody would say today, the son or the daughter of the president, or the son or the daughter of a king. That is an identity which is very valuable, because that identity comes with honor and prestige. It comes with pleasure. It comes with money, gold and silver, influence, property. That is what it meant to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When a man is being prepared as a prince to occupy the throne of Egypt, which at the time was a superpower of the world, all the best technology, all the best science, all the best architecture was in Egypt, like we find with the USA today. So if you were in line to become the king or the Pharaoh of Egypt, it was a great privilege. So why did Moses refuse this? We'll be considering that. But what can we learn from this? Moses refused all of this. It's a very, very strange thing to think about. How could somebody who has so much privilege and honor and power and position refuse the identity, refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? We'll be looking at that, but it is one of the first items to think about when we consider repentance, because there are similarities between Moses' day and our day. Moses realized, based on his training from the home, that he wasn't an Egyptian. He could not belong to them. He knew about the God of Israel. He realized that he could never become one of the people of Egypt. He realized the sinfulness of Egypt, and so saw that he could never identify with them, even if all the privileges were going to come alongside. So what did he do? He refused. He did not just remain a talkative and say, I don't like this and I don't like that. He refused, which means he declined. He denied to be identified with the people of Israel. And so it is that we find today in our land. For sin is such that it is very, very much in common with treasure and pleasure. Materialism and pleasure is the order of our day today. And that is being promoted strongly by our current society today. There is the high promotion of selfishness, seeking of titles and positions, influence, political and business networks, media attention. There is all of these things being done, and they are being named as God's blessings. And they are not so, as we find with the experience of Moses. He refused. Once he realized that a certain identity is associated with sin, he refused all of them. And so we have to be wary and concerned about our current society today in our land. Our current society also promotes worldly pleasure, sports and games, entertainment, amusements, concert parties, beach parties, television and movies, social media chatting. All manner of things are promoted, including alcoholism, pornography, profanity, and all of these are becoming common in our day, unless you don't live in our world. But you can see these are common. What are the very things which are identified with these? They are the very things Moses found in Egypt. Many of the people who are sports stars, entertainment stars, television personalities, most of these are the richest. They are the ones who have the worldly identity. They have pleasure. They have positions of power. And they have money. They can sponsor so many programs. So what I'm speaking about concerning the first point of refusal is, there must be an understanding by all of us gathered here that to a large degree, sin is very much associated with worldly power, worldly identity, worldly honor, worldly prestige. Why? When the devil went to tempt Jesus Christ, that is exactly the thing that he used to tempt him. Look across, he told Jesus, look at all the world. If you bow down to me, I'm going to give you all of them. So we must be wary. It is not to suggest that we should not make money to take care of ourselves, but we must be careful. All the time, or most of the time, I should say, sin is associated with these things. So these things about worldly greatness and pride and covetousness I've spoken about, they keep us away from coming to Christ. It's one of the lessons we are learning, because they are desires of our sinful nature. The unsaved, the one who doesn't know Christ well, the one who is deceived to think that he is saved and yet unsaved, one of the ways you can check yourself is to wonder, how much are you driven? How much is your interest concerning power and position and influence? All of that we summarize under what is called the worldly identity. Identity with the world is to be seen as an example of worldliness. How is it seen? An identity is a behavior. It is a culture. It is a way of life. And you can see in our world today as we live in Accra. How is it seen? Everything immoral is justified or overlooked in the name of education and food and property. You can hear this on radio. People do wicked things, and the next thing you hear is they are doing it so that they can put food on their table. That is how human beings can be reduced to animals. Food becomes a justification for everything we do. Alcoholic adverts, you can see, they demonstrate pleasure. They put smiles on the face on the adverts in the streets and in the television. And then they tell you that it is going to give you happiness. Sex-enhancing drinks, the bitters, which are so much advertised on radio, they are all examples of the worldly identity. Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And that identity, as I said, was a worldly identity. He realized that that identity is connected strongly with sin. So, I'm asking, friend, have you set your heart on worldly greatness and pleasure and popularity? Are you so passionate about them and doing everything to get them, including blackmail and slander and lying and cheating, avoiding Christian service, cutting up the time you spend to read the Bible and your prayer in order to make money and become powerful and become influential? Beware, for Moses, even when he had more than you can think of in Accra, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Are you aspiring to become like this and that famous politician or businessman or sportsman which you find on TV or you have seen on a billboard? You set your eyes on that and that becomes your ambition. Beware, for that's a very dangerous thing for your soul, dear friend. Hear what the Bible says in Jeremiah 45 and verse 5. You won't turn to it. That's a very strange set of words to many people living in this world today. It says, "And seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not." Very strange. Are you seeking great things for yourself? Seek them not. This is what the Bible testifies. But having said all of this about our first point, let me now say something which is a caution. Moses refused, but that wasn't all. Because if you refuse all of these things, that may not make you a Christian yet. To refuse is not enough, because that is not salvation. That is not redemption. It is not even repentance in its proper sense. For example, you stop drinking alcohol. You stop gossiping. You stop telling lies. You stop watching pornographic movies. Or you stop talking profane. You stop smoking. You stop gambling. That is not enough. That is called reformation. And that can't help you to heaven. So that will lead us to our second point. But before that, why this is so, I want you to refer you to John Bunyan's famous book, The Holy War. This is an example of how the devil works. Sometimes, in order for you not to become a Christian, he will present something like this to you. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and therefore, stop this and stop that and stop that, and you become a Christian. That is not true. This is Diabolos, the character in the Holy War. At a time that he had overtaken man's soul for many years, and then Prince Emmanuel came to overcome and overtake him and overthrow him, Diabolos decided to go into a truce and come to some terms with Prince Emmanuel, which is Christ. So he went and said, I know that now everybody in Mansour is after you. They love you. They see you as their king. So this is what I would want to do so that you don't cast me away altogether. I will press upon them the necessity of reformation according to thy law. You'll find this on page 110 of that book. I will press upon them the necessity of reformation according to thy law. Reformation, that is to only refuse to do something which you find wrong. That is not salvation. We're going to see more about salvation. So that takes us into the second point. Moses did not only refuse, but in verse 25 it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses, he did not only refuse, but he chose. Moses preferred a life of insecurity, slavery, oppression, shame, contempt, loss, rejection, scorn, ridicule. All of these were the character of the Hebrew. The Hebrew man at the time was somebody nobody respected. He was a slave. He lived in poor housing. Their food was poor. They were oppressed. Nobody cared for them. Why did Moses decide to align with such people? He rather preferred all of this, and he gave up a life of comfort. He preferred to be served. He gave up a life of being served by servants, a life of fame and popularity, a life of freedom to do what he wanted, a life of woman and self-indulgence, a life of plenty and power and influence. This is what he would have gained if he had not refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So what can we learn from this about Moses? He preferred the life of the Hebrew, and then he gave up the life of prestige and power. This teaches us that faith and repentance is actually a surprise. It is unusual. What do I mean here? If you don't come to Jesus Christ by faith and repentance, you are not going to see such a character. You are not going to experience such a thing. What am I speaking about? Moses, his behavior was unusual and surprising. It is surprising because the average person today is being trained to become more wealthy, more powerful, to become more influential. Our very system of education is promoting that, which is not bad, as in education itself being bad. But the many things about our education are such that everything is to make the human being more powerful. Nobody without faith is going to choose a life of insecurity and slavery and oppression. But that is the Christian character in many ways. For to become a Christian, to have faith, is not by mouth. It is a certain identity. An identity which we find in the verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Suffering is the Christian character. It is strange. Who will choose suffering? But the Bible tells us to have faith is to choose that. And not that you decide for yourself that suffering should come upon you, but that you remember that to be a Christian means to be hated by the world. If you don't think so, you are not yet a Christian. If you don't know what it means to suffer the reproach of Christ, if you don't know what it means to be ridiculed and to be scorned and to be denied privileges because of your testimony as a Christian, if you don't know how to be laughed at, how to be mocked because you have put across a Christian character, dressing style, a certain way of speaking, certain ways by which you make choices in your life, which will make people laugh at you. If you haven't tasted that, watch yourself. You may not be a Christian, because that is the Christian character. And this is what the Bible is teaching us here. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Again, it is not that you go and court for trouble for yourself so that people hate you, but by your church attendance, your Bible reading, your refusal to follow money, and the things of this world. Wherever you work, wherever you go to school, people will not like you. They will hate you because they want to take bribes and you are there. They feel ashamed that they are taking bribes and you are not. They wear tight dresses. They wear tight jeans. The men wear earrings. They are cheating. They drink. They womanize. And you are not one of them. Even if you don't speak a word, they will still hate you. Moses, he chose rather to suffer affliction because he wanted to be identified with Christ. So this is how our society is. It hates and rejects anyone who repents of sin and believes in Christ alone as Savior. This is the truth, friends. Christianity is not, I have one leg in the world and I have one leg in Christ. You must be all for Christ and escape the world. And if you do that, the world will hate you. You've left them. You are putting them to shame. Their lifestyle, everything, you are condemning, even without speaking. And therefore, you have to be wary about these things. Our society rather praises people who only mention the name of Christ and go to church and pay their tithes. But then, they also love the treasures and pleasures of sin, of this world. Who are examples of these people? The so-called gospel musicians are some of them. Television presenters, many of them are like that. Our politicians and business leaders, what do? They love the world, they love all the pleasures of sin, and yet you hear them mentioning the name of God. They talk as if they are saints, but they are not, because they have not chosen the reproach of Christ. They don't want persecution, so they will join the people to drink, and then they will also go to church and pay their tithes. This is not Christianity, friends. So is anyone here like that? Please, beware. Or are you looking to become one of them? Here am I. I am going to school. I am learning a trade. I want to be a Christian. And yet, I also want to be like all the other people in the world. To have all the big cars. To have all the money. To have all the property. To enjoy the pleasures. Attend the concert parties with them. Attend the beach parties with them. Dress like them. How about how to solve the problems of this life? I won't look into the Bible. I will listen to the radio and the television. That will teach me how to choose a marriage partner. That will teach me how to solve my life's problems. Am I depressed? I will go to watch television to see. So this is a character which will take you to hell, friends. Because to become a Christian is to be able to refuse the world and then also to choose Christ. That is so severe. Because if that is not severe, the Bible will not be true. So, unless you are able to suffer the reproach of Christ, you can never become a Christian. Our society even praises and loves people who use the name of Christ to make money. Think of the charismatic pastors who are so much all over the place this day. They use entertainment in the churches. They bring people in to treat them to the dance, and then to the music and to the orchestra. They use the name of God to make money out of people, and they yet mention the name of God. They don't want any suffering. They don't want a life of Christianity which will make them, bring them closer to God. So friend, you must do so like Moses, by repentance and faith. And I am trying to explain what it means to have repentance and faith by this. So to have faith in Christ is to choose to love Christ, whom the world hates. Do you think the world loves Christ? No. They will mention his name because they want his benefits, but they don't want him to be their Lord. That is the truth of the matter. So when you hear Jesus' name mentioned on radio and TV, don't be deceived. They don't love Christ at all. They mention his name because they use his name to sing songs and make money, to run churches and make money out of it, but they will not submit to his authority. Because to submit to Jesus' authority is to be identified with him, to become more like him, and that will shame the world and that will bring hatred upon you, even by your own family members. And this is why I'm saying, Are you wondering whether you are a Christian or not? The test is the reproach of Christ. That is the truth of the matter. If everybody loves you, when you are in church, you give money and you sing hymns, so people love you there. And you go to your workplace and there too, you do everything they do and there too, they love you equally. You are in danger. You must refuse that lifestyle in the world and choose Christ, and that is going to bring reproach upon you. So like Moses, he refused to be identified with this world's treasures and pleasures. Its way of thinking, its style of dressing, its music styles, its way of talking, its methods of solving problems, its ways of doing business, its approaches to choosing a husband. Where are people learning about all of these? From the television, from TV talk hosts, from school, from philosophers. That will not make you a Christian, friends. So, we come now into the reasons proper. Why and how can you repent and believe in Christ? And that's our third point. Moses, he did not choose Christ. He did not refuse Egypt by blindness. There was a reason. And this is what we find in verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What did he do? He calculated. He weighed in the balance the two different types of wealth. The world of Egypt and the world of Christ. Or you can say the religion of Egypt and the religion of Christ. The treasures of Egypt and the treasures of Christ. What did the Egyptians treasure? What were they so proud about that could have made Moses remain with them? They had technology, the best in the world at the time. They had the proud River Nile. They had lands, cities, buildings. They had chariots. They had slaves. They had cattle. They had horses, plenty, more than any other. I'm sure you remember how even by the time of the famine, the people of Canaan, including Jacob, had to come to Egypt, the most advanced nation at the time. So they had a lot to be proud about. How about their religion? They worship cats, and I'm talking about the things Moses saw. Why did he refuse Egypt? Why did he choose Christ? He saw the religion of Egypt. They worship crocodiles, goats, insects, hippopotamuses, lions, lifeless gods. They had the sun god, the Nile god. They had endless fables, fake stories about the power of these gods. That is similar to our current society today. Our land doesn't have all these worship of goats and so on, but we worship property and we worship pleasure. This is the character of the religion of our day today. The worship of property and the worship of pleasure. This is everything. Look at the media, look at the politics, look at education, look at everything, and it is summarized as the worship of property and money. And Moses, when he had looked at all of this, he considered the recompense of the reward thereof. What was the recompense of the reward for the religion of Egypt? There was a temporal reward, which was happiness and riches, security. Who wouldn't want this in the time of Egypt? You are served by women, you are worshipped by people, they put food on your table. You have so much you can want. And yet, behind that was also restlessness. Moses saw this. Remember that he had lived with his parents and he had also seen the lifestyle of Egypt. They were restless. They were hardened. They were unsatisfied. They were deceived. They were blinded. They forgot about the true God and death and eternity and their souls. Everything was about pleasure. Everything was about property and greatness in the world. That was the character of Egypt in the day. This is what their religion promoted. But then, more seriously, why did Moses refuse Egypt and choose Christ? Behind the religion and the pleasure, there was insecurity, because those gods demanded human sacrifice. So there was bloodshed, there was savagery, murder. There was jealousy. There was inequality, backstabbing, wickedness, deceit. All of that was in Egypt. Are you surprised? No. Before Christianity came to our country, that was how our African traditional religion was. Human sacrifice. Babies were given to gods. People had to give over their whole, sometimes their whole meal to a god. There was so much about wickedness of man. Human sacrifice, bloodshed, savagery, emptiness, vanity. That was the religion of Egypt Moses saw. And I hope you are going to see that also as I speak concerning the religion of property and pleasure in our land today. Pay attention to them. Make it a purpose of your life to become prosperous and pleasant as the only and the highest aim of your life, and you will end up with this, because you will be surprised that one day you will kill for money. You will backstab people in order to be able to gain a position. You will undermine somebody in order to gain promotion. And you will do everything, including not training your children well in order to have pleasure. So Moses saw this, and then he calculated by weighing that against the God of Israel, the God of compassion, the gracious and merciful God of holiness, forgiveness, kindness, the God who forms character in people, the God who is able to humble people, who is able to make somebody who has very little still smile, the God who is able to make the sick person dying still able to sing a hymn of praise, the God who is able to uplift the soul beyond the things of this world, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Moses would have learned about that. The God who promised that he would send the Messiah, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to come into the world to be sacrificed for the sins of billions of sinners. The God of grace and mercy, who provides our daily needs. The God, the only God, not the multiple gods. What is the recompense of the reward for such a God, for the religion of Israel? The recompense is all the blessings of the gospel we speak about. What can you learn of Christ? How can you benefit from the cross of Christ? You benefit in this way. You have forgiveness of your sins, not only the sins of your past. To have faith, to repent and believe in Christ sincerely, is to have all your sins, past, present, and future, forgiven. Isn't that amazing, friends? Your sins, past, present, and future, all your sins were laid on the cross if you believe in Him and trust and repent. That comes alongside with eternal life, with what is called justification, which means to have a right standing with God. It also comes with sanctification, which means to be set apart for holy purposes for God. To have God as your Father, not Satan, not your parents only who will die one day. God as my Father. What a great privilege of protection, of heritage, of being a joint heir with Christ. Great blessings. Moses, he would have considered all this. Is it not strange that even 2,000 years before Christ, Moses knew him? The verse says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Moses knew Christ then, and he esteemed the reproach of Christ, which is all the hatred for Christ by the Egyptians and by anyone else, greater riches. Very strange. What is it in Christ which is greater riches? Those are the ones I've mentioned to you, friends. Christ, the Bible says, has unsearchable riches, more than gold and silver, because the riches of Christ, they are not in the flesh, they are in the heart. They are the things which give you the true joy in the world. The last point is about how Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Friends, he forsook Egypt, and here we understand not his first exit as he went to Midian, but how he went with the people of Israel out of Egypt. He did not fear the king, and he, as we read in that verse, he endured as seeing him who is invisible, which means he had courage. He believed that God is there. You see, we are not speaking here as if he saw God with the eyes, but he had the eye of faith. He saw God because he found him to be real. And that is what will happen to anyone who repents and believes in Christ. You repent by refusing the world and its honor and identity. You repent by choosing Christ and his reproach. You repent, and the reason is because you esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than everything else the world has. And then you have to forsake Egypt, the world, because of all of these. How can you find God to be real? How can you understand all that I'm saying as a Christian character? It is because you will find God to be the one who answers prayers. It is one of the tests of a Christian. If God answers your prayers, then you are a Christian. Especially, we don't talk about prayers of thanks and prayers of I'm asking for this and this and this for myself, but what we call prayers according to the will of God. Does God answer? It means you are a Christian. You find him to be real. That is what we mean by Moses found God who was invisible. Alright. So, how is God real? His presence will be in your heart. The Holy Spirit will indwell you. And then he will incline your heart towards him. He will enable you to live for him. He will give you power over sin. He will move your heart to love him and his house and his word. And then he is going to relate with you. He is going to talk with you like a friend through his word. He is going to comfort you in times of distress. When the world hates you, he is going to provide you comfort. There is reason why Moses refused Egypt and all its treasure and chose Christ. To find God to be real and not far away is what I'm speaking to you. So friend, as you hear this gospel message which says, repent and believe in Christ. If you repent and believe in him, then you will begin to see the emptiness of the gods of our society, which, as I said, is materialism and pleasure. And then you will come to see that they are shallow, they are for a short period, they are not able to make a person truly happy, they are unable to give you a fulfilled life, they are false and empty, they are deceitful, they are nothing for your soul and eternity. Christ is your portion if you repent and believe in him, and you will love him, and you will find that actually what Moses did has also become your portion. Otherwise, you will remain as a pleasant person in this world, and then you will die and suffer eternal punishment in hell. And may the Lord bless our lesson this morning for his own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. O Lord God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. These great decisions which were made by Moses by faith. He refused the world. He chose Christ. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of this world. And he forsook the world altogether. This is the meaning of repentance and faith in Christ. And we ask of thee blessings upon us to have this. O, save many souls this day. Challenge many hearts to reflect on their own lives, to see where they stand by this, that even when they go home, they will go back and read these verses. Moses, how strange his decision was, and yet how true it is for anyone who must become a Christian. Bless us, O Lord, melt our hearts, and bring many souls to the saving knowledge of Christ this day. Hear us in all these things, for we ask them all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.